This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's a special conference final edition of the Hockey News Podcast. Matt Larkin here with Ryan Kennedy and Ken Campbell. And this is fun because we don't have to call it round two or round one anymore. We can actually say Eastern Conference Final, Western Conference Final. It sounds a lot more official, I'd say.
It's serious now.
Yeah, sure, Matt.
Shit's getting real, okay? We're going to jump right into some series picks, some breakdowns. We're going to start in the West with what I think is a crazy close series on paper, Nashville Predators and Anaheim Ducks. What we're going to do for each series, we're going to break them down in different categories. We're going to start with offense. Who do you think is the better offensive team in this series?
Oh, I think it's Anaheim, for sure. They're shooting more. They're averaging like 36 shots a game. There's some real push to their offense. They've got some guys that are going. They're getting secondary offense. As you saw in Game 7, you know, Nick Ritchie coming up with the big overtime goal. Or not overtime goal, but the winning goal. Mm-hmm. I just think that there's more of a push from offensively from Anaheim. And they're a big team that controls the puck in the offensive zone. They create first and second, you know, chance opportunities. In terms of ability to create offense, I would have to go with Anaheim.
Yeah, I'm going to say Anaheim as well. You got Ryan Getzlaff still in beast mode, and they are getting contributions from other guys, which is important. On the flip side, Nashville's two top goal scorers with four apiece are Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi, both of whom, you will note, do not play forward,
right,
but defense. Now, that's great for the mobile transition game that Nashville has, but it's a little disconcerting to me that none of their forwards are in that league. I think we need to see a little more from Ryan Johansson and Philip Forsberg and guys like that. Mike Fisher has 0 points
in
10 games. Yeah, and I know he's not a big scorer.
Yeah.
But, like, Harry Zolnerchuk has 2 points in 7 games.
Yeah. I'm surprised someone hasn't made that. Mike Fisher has as many points as Carey Underwood would in the playoffs. Huh?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So,
but he has three fewer than Pekka-Rinne. I mean, Pekka-Rinne has 3 points.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Nashville, I think they need to sort that out if they really want to compete with the Ducks, who right now obviously have the ability to score in bunches if they need to.
And did you know that Mike Fisher has as many points as combined as Carey Underwood and Dierks Bentley?
Yeah.
Dierks Bentley walked past me at the All-Star game last year. No idea who he was. He may as well have been like a mailman. I'm not a country guy. Sorry, Dierks Bentley. I shot you down hard. Yeah. I'm going to call it a push because I still think when you say offense doesn't mean forwards. No. Offense means ability to score. Predators were the higher scoring team in the regular season, bigger sample size there, and they generate so much from the back end. They also played some pretty tough teams to score on in Chicago and St. Louis. So I think it's even. Of course, Anaheim better at forward right now, but I like what Nashville brings from the back end. So to me, I'm declaring that one a push. Defense now, what do you guys think? Who has the edge?
Oh, I think Nashville has the edge on defense. Just not in terms of defending, but in terms of being able to push the pace, being able to move the puck, being able to transition to your forwards. All those things that Nashville's winning games doing, you know, with their mobile defense and the way, you know, Ryan Ellis is playing and Roman Josi's playing. And, you know, I'm not even sure that if they hadn't traded P.K. Subban to get P.K. Subban for Shea Weber, that things would be any different now. I think that Nashville would probably still be in the same place and Montreal would still probably be in the same place. I don't think Subban's been that dynamic in these playoffs. He's had his moments, but I think there's been times when he's been a lot more quiet than I think we would have thought.
Except when he's embellishing, right? When he's getting knocked to the ground and, oh, wait, no, he's acting, according to the NHL.
Yeah, but, you know, it only took him 8 days to figure it out. It only took him eight days to find him.
You know,
eight days.
They had to just sit in a room and, like, the P.K. Subban find, meeting seven.
Yeah.
You know, they had to talk about it for a long time.
Yeah, but I think defensively, in terms of defending in your own end, it's interesting because these two defense corps are really similar in a lot of ways. They both, you know, they can both really move the puck. They're both mobile. They both like to jump into the play. They can both generate from far away from the net at the blue line. But I'd probably have to give the slight edge to Nashville.
Yeah, I'm with you there in Nashville. I think the Predators have, like, the prototypical modern defense corps. as you were saying, the great transition, the puck moving, the mobility. Also, they didn't give up a seventh spot in the playoffs like Anaheim's defense did.
Yeah, that's right.
And partially that was John Gibson's fault. But, I mean, there was some pretty good, you know, high-octane chances that Edmonton got there. I think that, Anaheim's not bereft of defense, but I just think that Nashville's blue line core, not only are they built well, but they've seen big teams before. I mean, St. Louis is a pretty big team themselves, and Nashville managed to push past them. So I think they're properly suited for this series.
And I think in a couple years, we might say the Ducks' blue line is almost as good as Nashville's, but they're just a younger group. You know, your Brandon Montours and your Vatanen Lindholms, they're not necessarily in their primes yet, whereas Nashville's big four, those guys are smack in the middle of their primes now. So I agree with you guys. I think at forward, it's almost the reverse of what I said about offense, but I like a lot of Anaheim's forwards for their two-way ability, especially, of course, the shutdown line with Kessler, Cogliano, Silverberg. They're good every single year in the playoffs. Like, Jacob Silverberg, he's playing good two-way hockey, but he's also a point-per-game player over the last, like, 3 years in the playoffs. That line really impresses me. I think it's close, but I think we're all in agreement that there's a slight edge for Nashville in the defensive category. Now, what about goaltending? To me, this is an interesting one because, like, if I was starting a franchise today, I'd say, oh, John Gibson, 11 times out of 11. I don't know why I didn't say 10 times out of 10.
It's because you're that sure.
Yeah, I'm that sure, goddammit. Yeah. But, I mean, look at the way Pekarinen's played in these playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, that I think gives Nashville the edge. I think, you know, Pekarinen is putting together a Conn Smythe trophy-winning resume here in the playoffs. He's been absolutely terrific. In these playoffs, Nashville's probably really needed only really good goaltending, and they've gotten spectacular goaltending. And I think he's a big part of the reason why, you know, I mean, they're through the first two rounds in 10 games. I think that's huge. That is going to be something that I think is going to bode well for them going forward. Having, you know, the extra rest, having the, you know, the time to kind of recharge and get away and do all those things and not have to slug your way through the first two rounds, I think is huge, and I think Pekarinen is a big part of that. John Gibson, you're right. I mean, he's been very, very good and he was terrific in Game 7. I was very impressed the way he came back last night in Game 7 after getting lit up in Game 6. And I think he's it was funny because when they played L.A. a couple of years ago and they were up in the series, I remember somebody asking Daryl Sutter about it, and he said, wow, you know, their goaltending's been really good, but boy, kid's under a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
a lot of pressure. And to me, that was just like the ultimate mind game, and I think it really messed with John Gibson. I don't think that's going to happen to him this time. But again, it's a slight edge, but I would probably have to give it to Rennie just based on, you know, we're looking at a body of work of the last month here, basically. And I think the body of work in the last month suggests that Rene probably deserves to get a bit of an edge over John Gibson at this point.
Yeah, I'll give the edge to Nashville. I prepared notes for this. I scrolled some things down. And under goaltending, I just wrote, come on. And I figured I'd ad-lib from there. I mean, Pekarinen, yeah, he's been spectacular. And, you know, as good as Gibson has been, he also got touched by the Oilers pretty seriously in that Game 6, and I think, you know, there were some flaws exposed that, I mean, Nashville's going to watch the tape of that game for sure and figure out, you know, how to get on him again. So for that reason, I think Rene has just been the kind of goaltender that can get into another team's head. And, you know, if Anaheim can't get to him early, I think it becomes a pretty tough mountain to climb.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on this one. And I actually was talking to Jamie McLennan about this last week and why has Rene been playing so well. And one thing he pointed out, which I've noticed since, is Rene, who's a tremendous athlete, one of the most athletic two or three goalies in the league, he gets too busy in the net because he's got that ability. But he's such a big dude that when he calms things down and he's not overplaying the puck, he becomes like impossible to score on. He doesn't offer many holes at 6'5". And I think the three assists that he has, that's not a coincidence either. He works really well with that defense core, stopping the puck and helping them start rushes. Like, he's totally in sync with them. And I think he's sort of driving that machine as well. So I'm with you. It's edge to Nashville, even though I like John Gibson a lot. What about coaching? We got Randy Carlyle versus Peter Laviolette, both Stanley Cup winners. Mm-hmm. So who do you give the edge to?
I think that's a push. I think you know, quite honestly, when you get to this, when you get this far, you don't get this far unless you have a really, really good coach. And I know that there's a lot of guys that like to hate on Randy Carlyle, but I think he's actually a terrific coach. I don't know if you guys have ever watched one of his practices, but I'm telling you, there is not one part of the ice that is wasted on a practice. There's stuff going on all over the place. He runs as good or better practice than any coach I've seen in the NHL. I think he's very, very underrated as a coach. I think he's a very, very good coach. I think he's very good with young players. I mean, and as he pointed out last night, you know, everybody talked about Edmonton's young players, but nobody really talked about the young guys that Anaheim has, too, that have really come along and developed under this guy and are playing really well. And I think it's a push. I like I said, when you get this far, if you don't have a good coach, there's a good chance you're not going to get this far. And I think they're both terrific coaches. I think in terms of, like, I look at Peter Laviolette, and he's kind of like Joel Quenneville in that he's got that ability to push the right buttons at the right times, mm-hmm. you know? Knows who's going, knows who's not going, knows who's playing well with whom, and really can exploit that and can make adaptations mid-game and that sort of thing. Whereas Carlyle might be a bit more of a, you know, stick to the script kind of guy. Mm-hmm. But I think they're both terrific coaches.
I'm going to give a slight edge to Nashville, although I did like your impassioned defense of Randy Carlyle. It was quite convincing, and I was almost going to go push. But
wow.
I just feel like he is too
You just
many...
can't agree with me on anything, can you?
Except
just,
like even two of the right past now, three categories.
No, but I couldn't convince you, because even though deep in your heart you know that it's a push now, you can't say it's a push, because that would just make you look weak.
Just need
the 12 Angry Men of podcast fodder.
Great movie, by the way. I saw a TV movie version of that. Like, I love the original, but I saw a TV movie version with, like, Tony Danza is one of the
Wicked.
Jurors. And I'm trying to remember who else. George C. Scott. Bubba Gump.
Wow.
Bubba from Forrest Gump.
Michael T. Williamson?
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't quite as good as the Andy Carlyle version.
No?
You know, just,
no?
Gonna go out on a limb there, but, you know, it was serviceable.
Wow, okay. I think...
Was
Carlyle...
it a Disney production? Because then we could tie it into the Ducks, but...
They're not owned by Disney no more.
Oh, they're not.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's true. They're owned by Henry Samueli. But they're near Disneyland, so.
There you go. But back to hockey. I think that Carlyle has a couple of old school tendencies that maybe they don't matter in the postseason because it is series and whatnot. But, I mean, Anaheim, not a great possession team. And maybe that doesn't matter in a short series, but... You know, Nashville, they're the kind of club that has, at least, I mean, they're better than the Ducks in that category. And I wonder if at this stage, when it really comes down to those fine details, if that might win out.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ryan. I pretty much have the exact same opinion. I give it to Laviolette by a hair. I look at the possession numbers. Nashville was elite. They push the play better. They also defend the play better in terms of shot attempts. And we have seen, even in the Calgary series, despite being the sweep, like the Ducks, they scored their way back into some of those games, and also Brian Elliott had a bad series. But the Ducks have been periodically leaky on defense, whereas I think Nashville plays a much more consistent and rigid system, and you see it in the possession numbers. So I do give the slight edge to Laviolette. I think he's slightly more modern-minded, but it's close. I'll give you that, Kenny boy. It is close. Lastly, we got special teams. I mean, the Ducks in the playoffs have been horrible on the power play, horrible on the penalty
kill.
Does that matter?
I don't know what the hell's going on there, because their penalty kill was one of the best in the NHL in the regular season, and now they're killing penalties at like 69%.
And last year they were first in penalty kill and power play.
Yeah. Well, obviously it hasn't hurt them so far. I guess you could look at it one of two ways. If they do manage to turn it around, then it's almost like they've supplemented their whole sort of effort here, and now they've got another weapon to work with. But, I mean, Nashville, again, body of work over the last month, Nashville's power play and penalty kill has been far superior to what Anaheim's has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think there's much you can question on that. And I think the big question becomes, you know, does Anaheim's special teams play come back to bite them in this series? I think they've been playing with fire, to use many metaphors at one time. And when you're playing a team like the Preds that have some pretty nice weapons when it gets into those scenarios, I think you're in trouble if you don't turn around pretty quickly.
And I like what the Preds can throw out there on defense for killing penalties. They've just got so many horses that can just, you know, skate the puck out of trouble, eat time. So I agree, Nashville's. Last category, the X factor. Is there just any intangible thought you want to share that you think favors one team over another, and what would that be?
Well, I don't know if it favors one team or another, but what I want to see is how Nashville reacts to adversity. Because we haven't seen it. They haven't faced it yet in these playoffs, really. Like, they really haven't had the screws put to them in a big way in these playoffs yet. It's been real clear sailing for these guys. It's been a nice ride. They've had a lot of fun. They've scored goals. They've won games. They got all the people in the arena going bonkers over them. They're the wonderful story. Everybody thinks that Nashville's great, and this is the second coming of the Los Angeles Kings.
This sounds like a Bob Cole call, by the way. They've scored goals, and people are cheering, and people are happy tonight. Anyway, sorry.
Anyways, I want to see how they react to adversity when they get down, you know, 2-1 in a series, 3-1 in a series. How are they going to respond? Are they going to be able to respond? Do they have the personnel to be able to pull themselves out of something like that? I think that'll be interesting to see. If Anaheim can, you know, say, win the first two games on home ice, see how they react to that.
Interesting.
An X factor for me is going to be Corey Perry with Anaheim. Obviously, Ryan Getzlaff has had a fantastic playoffs. But, I mean, Perry's a guy that's been there before. He's very experienced, and he's just so mean and not fun to play against. And as much as we've lauded Nashville's decor, you know, they're not big. They're not particularly strong.
Yep.
If Corey Perry decides to just, like, be an annoyance and, you know, break some hearts, can they stop him?
Or some faces.
Faces.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, not just Corey Perry, but like Nick Ritchie and
sure.
Getzlaff, and you know, a lot of their bigger guys. And you're right. I mean, they'll have their hands full.
They'll agitate you.
And to me, even though I think we've all picked Nashville for a lot of the categories as the edge, but I think the one huge advantage the Ducks have, the same advantage they had over the Oilers, center ice. Ryan Johansson, Mike Fisher versus Ryan Getzlaff, Ryan Kessler, and even third on the depth chart, Antoine Vermette.
Yep.
That's a huge edge for the Ducks. And especially the way, you know, Chicago has Taves, but Taves hasn't been his best all year long. Like, Getzlaff, the way Getzlaff's playing right now, is an entirely different beast. The Blues had nothing close to that down the middle. So to me, that's going to be a huge challenge for Ryan Johansson and Mike Fisher, especially Johansson. He's going to have to be the top line guy. I think he's sort of been more of a number two center, miscast as a number one. Like, that's sort of what he is on this team. And the question is, will he be exposed in this series? I don't know. That's why I see the series being very close. I think that's the great
equalizer in the series
is going to be center ice. So time for an official series pick. You can probably guess the way I'm leading, so I'll lead it off. I've got the Predators winning this series, but a very close series, 7 games.
I'm going to go 7 games as well, but I'm going to take Anaheim in 7.
Mm. I'm going to go Nashville in 7.
All right. I think it's going to be close. It's going to be good. So let's move on to the East. We've got Pittsburgh versus Ottawa?
Huh?
Who knew? And it's at this point...
Well, it's almost Pittsburgh versus Ottawa.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, we... At some point, we're going to have to start giving Ottawa respect. The question is now the time, or is it a different story with Pittsburgh? So let's start going through the categories again. Who's got the edge in offense?
Well, I mean, it's crazy to say that we're even asking this question, because it's clearly Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's as stark as people might think it is, you know? I mean, Pittsburgh, to me, is a team that... They're just so, like, don't make a mistake in your own end, because it's going to end up in your net. That's the way they play. Like, they're so opportunistic when they jump on defensive zone turnovers, that sort of thing.
With their speed.
Like, they haven't necessarily, like, I wasn't very impressed in this series of what they generated. Like, I didn't think they generated a lot. Like, that there was a lot of oomph coming from them, and that it was like rushes up the ice, and that they were creating and that sort of thing. It was more like, you know, Kevin Shattenkirk would gag it up and they'd jump on it and score like they did on the first goal last night. Yeah. The one where Ovi waved his stick with one hand. That one. Anyways, I just think that I don't think it's quite as stark as people think. I think it's the edge goes to Pittsburgh, but I don't think it's a huge edge. Like, I think, you know, Ottawa puts a lot more shots on goal. They have a lot more shot attempts than Pittsburgh does in the playoffs. And, you know, they have the ability to... I think they have more of an ability to sort of manufacture and create their own offense as opposed to Pittsburgh just kind of, you know, serpent-like, you know, jumping on a mistake and capitalizing on it.
I'm going to give Pittsburgh the advantage, even though I am factoring in Erik Karlsson to the offense, as we discussed in the Western Conference Final. I just think that with Malkin, with Crosby, with the emergence of Jake Guentzel, you have all those weapons, and you're right about the Washington series, but I almost feel like the Penguins are like judo masters, where they use your strength against you. So for that Washington series, they knew it wasn't going to be they don't want wide open fire wagon hockey. You know, they needed to snuff out the Caps, and that's what they did. I think with Ottawa, they're going to look at some of the players that the Sens throw out on defense, and they're going to say, all right, we can get some pretty favorable matchups here. That's when we can make our hay. Maybe things are opened up a little bit. And, you know, with all due respect to the Senators, I think that's an advantage Pittsburgh has, that their offensive ceiling is a lot higher.
And it is interesting. It's a good point by Ken that they sort of play this more opportunistic game, which is not how we defined them last year. Last year, they were the never-ending hornet's nest. So they are a bit of a different team.
Hornet's nest.
But I think also, you know, we can't overthink this one. The highest-scoring team goals per game regular season, Pittsburgh. Highest-scoring team in the playoffs,
right,
goals per game, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they are not generating as many chances, but they have so much more talent, like top-end talent at the forward position, so they can make up for the fewer chances by just having that finishing ability. Switching gears to defense, that's an interesting one. I mean, Erik Karlsson's playing half the game, so that counts for a lot. What do you guys think?
I'm going to give the edge to Ottawa on defense. I don't think either of these teams is particularly strong defensively, especially on the back end. I mean, they're both have injuries. They both have some rather suspect personnel back there sometimes because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think either team is you know, really like that devoted to playing a defensive structured game. And so I don't think either team is that good defensively, but the Ottawa Senators have Erik Karlsson. He's the best defenseman in the world. He might be the best player in the world right now. So that gives them the edge, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to give a slight edge to Ottawa because of the Erik Karlsson factor. And I like how Pittsburgh has structured themselves where, even with Chris Letang out, they've been effective. And we saw this last year in the playoffs as well, where guys like Brian Dumoulin in particular, you know, they don't have to be flashy. They just have to get the puck out as fast as possible, get up to the forwards, and the forwards will do their job. You know, I love what Justin Schultz has become in Pittsburgh. I think he's been very key for them. Very interesting. Dumoulin actually leads the defense corps in ice time right now with 21 minutes, slightly over a couple of other guys.
Well, yeah, because he and Hainsey were the shutdown guys, right?
Right.
So, and there was a lot of shutting down that they had to do in
right.
that series.
And Dumoulin was the sort of afterthought in the Jordan Staal trade at the draft. In
very
2012,
true.
I believe.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But I think Ottawa, with Karlsson, you have that superstar player that can make those passes that go from his goalie's red line to the other team's blue line, and all of a sudden it's a goal. And I think that capacity is just so important in a series where, you know, the stakes are so high.
And you know, I love hearing just people, probably not just us, acknowledge Erik Karlsson as an edge for defense now. Whereas even a year ago, people might have been still saying, oh, he doesn't play defense, he's a one-way player. I think finally people understand his all-around impact on the game now. So I personally, as a constant Erik Karlsson man-crush defender dude,
right. Yeah, I'm getting right.
Yeah.
I'm getting into man-crush territory with this guy too. And like, he's not even a defenseman, he's a point guard, right? Like, he's a point guard. And there, you just can't put... It's just really difficult to put a defensive value on a guy who just gets it out every time it gets on his stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? I mean, forget about the block shots. Forget about the fact that he's boxing guys out better, that he's got better defensive awareness. you know, on a 50-50 puck, he gets to that 50-50 puck, all of a sudden, it's not only out of the zone, it may very well be a really good chance going the other way.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. And I also give an edge to the Senators, so I'm with you on there, on that pick as well. But also because of the forwards. They have some good two-way forwards like Mark Stone, Mike Hoffman, and there's some nice buy-in to Guy Boucher's system, which can be very smothering. So I think I factor that in as well. So to me, it's pretty defined. Ottawa is the better defensive team.
And I was going to say, you know, I think part of Carlson's ascension has been Guy Boucher, and Carlson wanted to get better defensively. Boucher brought in the structure that allowed him to flourish. And, I mean, Carlson has bought in, and I think he's the better player for it. All those natural gifts that he had, everything that he was building towards, I feel that he is a slightly different player this year and for the better.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I mean, he's led the league in block shots. Personally, I'm not...
Second to Chris Russell, just saying.
Oh, no. He was... Yeah, you're right. He was leading the league in block shots for much of the year.
That was just for our comment section.
For much of the year, but...
No, you got it wrong.
Well, actually,
I don't like him blocking that many shots, personally. I don't want... If I'm the Ottawa Senators, I don't want Eric Carlson blocking...
That's Mark Method.
Nor do his cracked feet.
Yeah, exactly. Really. I don't want that, but he feels like that's part of his game, and he has to do it, and he's excelled in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to goaltending. This is an interesting one again, because to me, like a month ago, especially... So let's say the night of Game 1, when as soon as Matt Murray was injured in warm-up, I think no one would have ever guessed that Marc-Andre Fleury would get Pittsburgh this far.
Yeah.
And he's the number one reason they're here. Like I would argue he bailed them out in the Capitals series and they were outchanced consistently.
Yeah, they were not the better team.
Like yeah. Fleury had the one or two bad games, but for the most part, he was the main contributor. And I think he's been their best overall player in the playoffs. So it's interesting because I don't think anyone would have thought that Fleury was the advantage over Craig Anderson a month ago, but now Anderson's been fine in the playoffs. Hasn't been spectacular.
No, he hasn't been spectacular.
I think 914 save.
And there's been games where he hasn't. He's been far less than spectacular. Yeah, he's been very erratic.
That's right.
Yeah.
So do you guys think now? Like, are you buying into the Fleury resurgence, and do you therefore give Pittsburgh the edge in goaltending?
I'm going to call that a wash. I don't want to be, you know, sort of a fence sitter here, but I'm going to sit on the fence. I think that I still think that Marc-Andre Fleury could still be Marc-Andre Fleury in the playoffs at any point. And I think that Craig Anderson, while he has not been great at times, it's almost like the Billy Smith thing, you know? Like when he's had to make that save, he's made it, you know? When he's had to play that big game, he's been terrific in a lot of those games, you know? I mean, Ottawa's kind of scored their way out of a lot of their troubles, you know, winning 6-5 and 5-4 overtime games. But the fact of the matter is that even in those games, when it came down to it and they needed that big save, they got it from Craig Anderson. So I think that he's been good. He hasn't been great, but he's been really good in crucial situations. And Marc-Andre Fleury, you're right. I mean, if you're picking a Conn Smythe Trophy winner for the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, it's either him or Malkin, and it's probably Fleury, I would think.
Yeah, unlike Freddie Fencitter over here, I'm gonna go with Pittsburgh. I think even though Fleury has had problems in the past in the playoffs, I think we're too far along now where the mojo is too good that you're not gonna see a blow up. I think he's in the zone right now. I don't think that changes. And as for Anderson, I hear what you're saying about making we'll call them the Grant Fuhr saves. You know, I couldn't believe a game tied 5-5 goes into double overtime. Like, what were you guys doing?
Guys, we're going to lock it down. Keep our composure.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're making saves? But I don't see Anderson as that bulletproof goaltender. And when you have guys like Malkin and Crosby and Kessel and Gensel, you need a bulletproof goalie. I mean, Braden Holtby, you know, like, they got to him. Not a lot, but, I mean, they got to him.
Yeah.
That's Vezina Trophy winner Braden Holtby. Mm-hmm. You know, Craig Anderson, he's had good years and he's had okay years, and this is a good year for him. But with the run that Fleury's been on, I think there's some magic in the air for him, and I don't see that changing.
Some flower power. And I'm with you, Ryan, as well. I think Pittsburgh's got the advantage. Fleury is an athletic goaltender, and it means when he's off, he's really off. When he's on, he can be very dominant. Like, his reflexes are still so quick. And the other thing is, if Fleury falters, guess who's back healthy and sitting on the bench? Matt Murray. And it's Ottawa does not have that same fallback, with all due respect to the Mike Condons of the world. I don't know, but again, Mike Condon or Matt Murray? No, Ken's shaking his head at me. But guys,
yeah, I am.
Matt Murray.
Because Mike Condon saved Ottawa's season.
Yeah, how many Stanley Cups? So did Mike Condon win 15 games in the playoffs last year in the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying. He's not chopped liver.
No, he's not, but he's not Matt Murray.
Mike Condon,
Let's be clear. Mike Condon is not Matt Murray.
Correct.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. But
no disrespect to Mike Condon.
Ottawa might not have even made the playoffs without Mike Condon. Oh, my God. Without Condon.
Without the Condon guy.
Without Condon, Ottawa might not have made the playoffs. Yeah,
I agree. But I'm just saying that either way, I think Pittsburgh's got the advantage at number one and two on the depth chart right now. So they have a great fallback if Fleury, for some reason, loses that mojo. Going to coaching now. Is this an open and shut case because, you know, Mike Sullivan is the guy that brought in the system that got them the Stanley Cup last year? Or do you think Guy Boucher doesn't get enough credit right now?
I would say it's the latter. I mean, and I know you guys are going to say Sullivan, so I'm kind of being a contrarian here. But I mean, we're not terribly surprised that Mike Sullivan's team is in the Eastern Conference Final, right? You would admit that.
Yeah.
We're not terribly surprised. Truth. We're absolutely friggin' shit-canned that the Ottawa Senators are in the Eastern Conference Final. And we're, you know, what they've done this year and what this guy has done with this team and how he's changed the culture and how he's changed the way they play and how he's brought out the best in Erik Karlsson and how he, like, I just think, you know, I mean, he is going to, this underdog thing is going to get annoying by the end of the series because he is just going to play that card like there's no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is a guy that has done an outstanding job with this team. He's proven that he can make adjustments, he can change things around, he can get, you know, he can push the right buttons. I think that Boucher, just on the fact that he has taken this team like infinitely further than anyone in hockey would have thought possible, I think gives Ottawa the edge there.
I'm going to be contrarian to your contrarian.
Oh, whoa. Shit.
And say that I agree that it's actually very close. Guy Boucher, I mean, even dating back to the regular season, we said, like, how is Ottawa winning? This doesn't make any sense. You look at them on paper, and it just doesn't add up. But his structure, everything that he's brought to that team, elevating the play of, I mean, not only Erik Karlsson, but, you know, he was getting contributions from Chris Weidman and Mark Borowiecki, and, you know, Cody Ceci was put in a better place. I think, you know, to give credit to Mike Sullivan as well, no Chris Letang, no Matt Murray, yeah. Trevor Daley goes out, Sidney Crosby misses time, and, you know, like, Chad Ruedel is playing for them.
Yeah.
He's playing in the NHL
on purpose.
Yeah, you know, and, I mean, good for Chad Ruedel. I mean, like, no offense, but, like, at this time in the season, you wouldn't expect that to be the case. But no matter who they plunk in, they've still chugged along. And I think that's, I mean, we knew that with Mike Sullivan. I think with Guy Boucher, you know, he had those good years with Tampa, and then the shine came off a little bit. But he has come back from Switzerland proven. He's the same coach that definitely knows what he's doing. And with a team that didn't look very strong on paper, he's gotten everything out of him that he could. And for that reason, I think it's a push because I think these are two of the best coaches in the NHL.
And he's smart enough to play Erik Karlsson 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart, too.
Just go, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually, I've been swayed. I also think it's a push. I mean, Sullivan has a very distinct imprint on the team, and I interviewed him like a month ago, and he said, you know, when he took over last year, he wanted all 29 teams to know our identity, know exactly how we play. We want to have that customized and defined of a style. He's achieved that, so all the power to him. He's a great coach, but he also has Sidney Crosby, Jenny Malkin, you know, Phil Kessel. Whereas the Senators, like, there was not much turnover at all on that roster year to year. So what's the biggest change? They brought in a new coach.
Right, exactly.
And I think that really shows Boucher's influence, including, like you said earlier, Ken, that he's helped, or one of you guys said it, that he's helped Erik Karlsson's game as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's close. I think it's even, dead even. Moving on to special teams, This is a weird one because I'll lead this one off. I see the Penguins are great on the power play. The Senators are better on the penalty kill.
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, it's pretty straightforward. It's going to be Pittsburgh's power play versus Ottawa's penalty kill is going to be the story. I think it's a push because each team is better in one category.
But I think that Pittsburgh's potential to just unleash the power play far surpasses anything Ottawa can do to try and stop them or to keep pace with them on their own power play. So that's where I would give Pittsburgh, you know, just in terms of the personnel you can throw out there. I mean, and in terms of, you know, like I said, there's something about Pittsburgh in these playoffs that they're just like, they're so opportunistic, mm-hmm. you know? And they are so, there's such a quick strike and just like, they're just so lethal right now. That you know, I find that you know that's probably going to be the case on the power play. I think their power play is better than Ottawa's penalty killing.
Mm-hmm.
They're both good, but I think when it comes down to it, I would put my money on Pittsburgh's power play over Ottawa's penalty killing.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I think part of the reason they are so opportunistic is they've all been there before. They did last year, and they recognize those opportunities, and you get those repetition in those pressure-filled games, and you start to pick up patterns. You start to see the game better, and I think that's an overall advantage they have. I will say Ottawa does have Jean-Gabriel Pageau, shorthanded master.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if he can have the same impact against a Pittsburgh team and the personnel that they have there, but, I mean, if you give him a chance shorthanded, he's going to take it and he's going to bury it. So I think he's at least an interesting player to keep an eye on when it comes to special teams.
Shorthanded Master sounds like a guy from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Shorthanded Master.
Stop.
Maybe we should just delete that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I'll just leave now.
I've heard of Method Man because I watched The Wire. The X factor in the series, I'll lead this one off. To me, and you know what, I can't take credit for this idea because it was Travis Yost, TSN. I was reading some thoughts from him today. He had a great point. Carlson has not had to face two elite centers before in the playoffs, or in these playoffs, right? Like, he had to face Bergeron. The Rangers couldn't throw anything of that caliber at him, but he's going to be matched up constantly against Crosby or Malkin almost for the entire time he's out on the ice, and that's going to be a big problem, I think. I think Pittsburgh is better equipped than any other team to neutralize the Carlson factor, because Carlson's on the ice half the game. Let's say, theoretically, if he was out there against Crosby every time, then it's like, well, who's going to be out there against Malkin? A gulp, right?
Yeah.
All due respect to the rest of the Senators' blue line. I think that star power is something Ottawa has not had to tangle with yet, and is going to be the main influencer on the series.
Well, to me, if The X Factor was a movie, it would be My Left Foot, starring Daniel Day-Lewis.
Heyo.
No, because I think that Erik Karlsson's injured left foot is a huge factor. I think the Ottawa Senators are throwing enormous amounts of bullshit at everybody, trying to tell people that it's healed. You ever broken a bone in your foot, boys? Bone in your foot? Yeah, it's not like you just go, oh, I got two broken bones in my foot, I'll take 3 days off. Oh, yeah, wow, they fused better together, and they're all better now. He's hurt. He is playing hurt. There's absolutely no question in my mind. Those bones didn't heal. The Ottawa Senators told Erik Karlsson to shut the hell up about it and to tell everybody that it was healed. I was talking to Steve Valiquette, an analyst for the MSG Network, and he said after Game 6, he was watching Karlsson walk around the dressing room, and he was limping, which tells me the guy's a cyborg, because if he's playing this way with an injured foot, then he really is a freak of nature.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that, you know, that if they keep targeting him, they keep going after him, and you know what? It's you know, they've been playing for about a month now, but now that month is going to turn into a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot longer. There, you know, a couple of overtime games maybe. I just think that how Erik Karlsson's foot holds up in this series, and he is injured. He's injured as sure as I'm sitting here. He's injured, and we're going to find out on clean out locker day that, you know, they may have to amputate that foot.
Yeah.
we may find that out. He is injured, okay? So how he can gut through this and battle through it, and how much the Pittsburgh Penguins take advantage of that injury and target him is, I think, going to be a real factor in this mm-hmm. series.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Mark Stone as an X factor. You mentioned his great two-way play. So far, 6 points in 12 games, which is below his traditional average. He's more of a point every, 0.75 a game kind of guy. If he can get going and give them some more offense, I think that gives Ottawa even more of a dimension because, I mean, they're going to have to get some goals on Pittsburgh, and I think they have to get everybody going in that respect. And they are kind of like a score-by-committee team, but I think if you can get more offense out of Mark Stone on top of the good two-way play, that'll make a big difference in extending this series.
And I'm with Ken about Erik Karlsson. And the thing about the feet is, like, those kind of injuries can linger. Like, foot stuff, those tiny little bones, like, that can affect the rest of his career. Like, I was at a wedding once, and this random giant 80-year-old man stepped on my foot, like, really badly. And my foot took, like, 3 years to heal. Like, what the hell? Just because those tiny little bones, like, he stepped on it in an awkward way. So I'm just saying, it's you don't know. You don't know about feet.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah, cool story, bro.
Did he give you a concussion too? Like
he might have. Who knows? I don't remember. Time to make our series picks. I think I know which way we're heading, and I'm sorry, Ottawa. I still don't believe in you. I've got the Penguins in six.
I've got the Penguins in five. I think this series is going to be a lot shorter. I think Ottawa's the kind of team that you look at them and you go, yeah, they could win a series. Maybe they could even win two, but the deeper you get into the playoffs, the more likelihood that the more talented, better team is going to win. You know, it's just the way it goes. And I think it's going to be a short series. I think it's going to be, like I said, maybe, like five games.
Yeah, I'm going to go Pittsburgh in five. And I think we've seen this before, not specifically with the Senators, but you get to that conference final and all of a sudden it's a huge letdown for one of the teams. I think we see, a lot of five-game series, sometimes even sweeps, where it's like one team is like primed and the other team has just gone as far as they can go. And I think that's the scenario here, particularly with Erik Karlsson's health.
All right, so I guess based on the way these playoffs have gone, we'll be having this conversation again when the Stanley Cup comes around and Ottawa somehow in the Cup as well.
Exactly.
Of course. Thanks for listening, everybody, and enjoy the conference finals.